I'll have plain orange.
Okay.
Who's that? Okay, let's begin. I have a few. Anyone need a Makamashi? Okay, an important. Did you hit start ready? Okay, well, I'm not ready yet. I thought I did.
Oh.
Stop. Pause.
Pause in the middle.
Important technical announcement. As you know, Official Gross generously sponsors the Cholent every week. But we spoke today, and he informed me that his the season that he sponsors the Cholent for on Friday nights is the season that he intended to sponsor Cholent on Thursday nights as well. And that season ends tomorrow, next week. So we have a choice to make, and since I don't partake usually in the Cholent, it's up to you. He is happy to continue selling us the Cholent. For the, it will be for our current quantity, it would be $40 a week. So if people want to sponsor on a week to week basis, at least partially, if not entirely, then we could continue. If people tell me that they really only came for the Torah and they just don't want me to feel bad and don't want the Cholent to go to waste and Nebuchadnezzar eat it, then it won't be a big deal. That's what I assume, which is why I'm raising this. So you can think about it this week. You don't have to all give me your answer today, but. Okay, well, if we have a certain sense that we'll be able to get this done with at least some regularity, then we'll continue. And otherwise, we'll have to buy salsa. Not Chi-Chi's, by the way. I had a Shiloh this week. In case anyone doesn't know, Chi-Chi's has lost the texture. And I'm in the process of finding out, but it could be, I'm in contact with the OU, it could be that it's mamish really trace. Chi-Chi's salsa. The best salsa. Yes, but someone who didn't know just called me this week. They just, whatever you do, I don't know what the verb is. You like cook in a pot, you roast in a pan, and you do what in a wok? So in a wok, someone had their salsa. Stir-fry. Someone stir-fried Chi-Chi's. So the Shaila is, how bad is that? So I'm trying to find out. But anyway, so we would probably get ShopRite. So I would go with the Cholent, but it's up to you guys. Okay, now we're ready to begin the share. Oh! Stay tuned. Okay. Anyone who wants more updates, just be the Yaakov Stash. Okay. The Pasuk says, by Shishi, in our Parsha, Parsha's Bekudei, you know, the four out of the last 5 weeks have been dealing with the setting up of the Mishkan, and finally we're ready. The big momentous day, Shishi begins the Hebrew Chodesh HaRishon, B'Shas HaShenis, Nachal HaChodesh, Shukam HaMishkan. Finally, the Mishkan is set up, and one of the first things we're told in the immediate next pasuk Yud Ches, is the Yakeh Moshe. The Mishkan Moshe establishes and he sets up the Mishkan. Vayitein es Adonav, and he puts down these sockets, whatever exactly Adonav you want to translate those. And then, more importantly, Vayasem es Karashav. He then places down the boards. These are very, very important boards, and the Yerushalmi explains, this is Yerushalmi in Parak Yud Beis of Masachah Shabbos, Yerushalmi explains that essentially what happened, this is hinted at very briefly in the Mishnah Shabbos, I'll read that in a moment, in Kuf Gimel on Masachah Shabbos, but Yerushalmi explains that essentially what was being implied here was actually something that was very, with tremendous precision. Namely, there was an idea, again, not to get into it now in terms of the why, but essentially the different boards that held up the Mishkan, there's an idea that those had to be, whichever one was on the right forever, whichever one was on the left forever, the north, the south, etc. And we know that the whole nature of the Mishkan was that it was mobile. So in order to make sure that the same board, when it was taken down and then reset up, does anyone not have a Mar Makom Hashi? Because I still have a few left. So there's no reason for any to be in my folder if anyone doesn't have. The way they would know if that they should put the same board in the exact same place is that they made some kind of markations. They had to write on the boards. Again, much the same way that a carpenter or a builder would do now, right? Or those right who are involved in their sukkah. So right. So for some people the parts are interchangeable, but for some, depending on what kind of sukkah you have, they're very much not. So some people are naturals and could figure it out every year, and other people, which would be me if I had such a sukkah, would not be able to. If it was a miracle I figured it out once, I would have to write down so I should know exactly where everything is. That's exactly what was done in the Mishkan, because they had to be dafka in the same place. And in fact, as our Mishnah says, this is in the Talmud Bavli, Masechta Shabbos, Daf, Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. There's two Mishnayos, it's the one on the bottom, and in the spirit of the Mishnah on the Daf, we'll do two Mishnayos on Daf Kuf Gimel. So the Mishnah on the bottom of the page tells us that one of the Av Malachos from the 39 prohibitions on Shabbos is Hakosev Shtei Osios, one who writes two letters. That happens to be parenthetically the minimum shiur for how much one has to write in order to be chayv the Oraisa, the capital offense of writing on Shabbos. Be'imino be'imismolo, b'shemecha be'imishnei shemos. Again, all sorts of details for the halacha of Kosev, which is not specifically important for us. But then, Amar Rav Yossi, lo chayv Shtei Osios elamishum roshem. Again, the difference between, quote, Roshem and Kosev is somewhat technical, and again, not for our purposes. Roshem means to, so to speak, make a demarcation, so to speak. And where does he somehow fixate on this word specifically? Shekach Kosvin al Krashe HaMishkan. Because, in fact, what is the source? Why is writing prohibited on Shabbos? It comes from this idea, which is hinted at in our Apostles, namely because they used to write on the boards of the Mishkan so they should know which ones to place where. Leida Ezo Ben Zugo. So they should know what the different pairs are, etc. Amar Rav Yehuda, Matinu Shem Kat, Mishem Gadol, etc. More details now in Melechus Kosev of Shabbos. So, again, not, I didn't put these marmakomos, but I, generally speaking, I know this is well known, but just to iterate, the principle that the Torah has for deriving the prohibited acts of Shabbos, of the Malachos, are based on an association with the Mishkan. There happens to be an interesting debate. If we were having the Limud in Malachos Shabbos, which I would love to do one day in some form or some venue or another, so there is an interesting debate. It's in Pnei Shua and other Achronim about when we say that you learn the Malachos from the Mishkan, does that mean just the way they built the Mishkan? Or the way the avoda was done in the Mishkan? Could you learn a malacha from what was done in the Mishkan? Or is it the way I think most of us assume, which is the way the Mishkan was built? So be that as it may, and again, it's very relevant to this point, right? They didn't have the right to build the Mishkan. But to a certain extent, but to reassemble the Mishkan at least, which you could call part of the building, the continual building and rebuilding, they needed to write. And we have, again, I could have given you a number of Mishnayos and other places in Makaros that indicate, again, what is well known, which is that since that happens to be the source for Melechus Mishkan is the source for Melechus on Shabbos, so this is, in fact, again, very parenthetical almost, a very small detail in terms of Mishkan, but it becomes just equal to any other Melechus on Shabbos, one of the 39 Torah prohibitions on Shabbos. There is much to say, especially in Lamdis and even in some Halacha Lamaisa practical stuff when it comes to the Malacha of Shabbos, but instead of focusing on that, I wanted to actually focus not on the Malacha, the Araisa of writing on Shabbos, but one of the derivative Gzeros Midrabbanan. We know, again, there's a lot more than 39 things we can't do on Shabbos. And the reason is, first of all, because 39 is misleading in the sense that even on the Araisa level, there's what's called the Av, and there's what's called the Tolda. But certainly the number gets multiplied exponentially because we obviously have many Yisurim Durabanan, which are very connected to, again, each particular Malacha, and then you have whole categories of Durabanan, whether it's Muksa or other types of things, which are independent of any of the 39 Malachos. One of the Xeris Durabanan on Shabbos, which is a derivative, a Durabanan, if you will, of this prohibition of writing on Shabbos, is mentioned in the Gemara in Beitza, on Daf, Lam Zayin of Abayz. And that is that we're not allowed to do business on Shabbos. Why can't you go into the office on Shabbos? And this has been a very profound question asked by employers to Jewish employees over the centuries. Why can't you come in? And the truth is that the answer is probably not as good as the question, in the sense of one is expecting a very profound answer, since it's a profound act of self-sacrifice on Jewish workers. And perhaps there are other more spirit-of-the-day issues, which may even have actual halakhos attached. But at least as the Mishnah is concerned, as the Gemara and Masechet Beis is concerned, on a very technical level, the reason that you're not allowed to do business is a gzeira. We're worried that business, very commonly receipts and other things, contracts, business very much associated with writing things down. And even though you may conduct a business which will just be based on a handshake, that itself is also derabbanan because we're worried that you might come to write. If you actually made the contract, then you'd be, that could be daraisa. The derabbanan is, even if there was no writing involved, but actually being involved in any form of business, is itself, again, this is Rashi there on Beitza, tells us that this is Gzeira, why is business usher? Because we're worried you, maybe you'll write a receipt. Extending beyond formal business, again, without getting into like an economics or a business school class of what's called business, but let's assume the Balabatish definition of business, that we say in Israel. Beyond that, though, the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf, Kukmem Chesam and Aleph, tells us that it's not just business in the back and forth real, competitive sense, if you will, but even certain types of borrowing and lending are also usher because of the same gzera. And again, logically, it's easy to understand the extension. If that is also right, most people are going to, certainly very commonly, going to be milva b'shtar, are going to borrow writing down a shtar. In fact, there happens to be a halacha that obligates that you should write things down because we're worried that you'll forget even innocently, and then you'll be machshil, the person who borrowed the money, because he forgets because he doesn't even write it down. It's easy to forget that this is a regular thing in yeshiva. You borrow a dollar to go get a soda. So every now and then there's like one tzaddik who, when you borrow a dollar, he takes out his notepad and writes it down. And the rest, everyone else rolls their eyes. Because I think this probably happens in every yeshiva. But the truth is, at least technically, like as many of the cases, he's right. It's a halacha. The point is, for our purposes, is that it's very common, certainly any more significant loans are going to be written down, and therefore it's included. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chaf Gimel, as well as the Shulchan Aruch, in a very important siman, which we'll be getting back to, siman Shin Vav. In this case, it's halacha, or it's Gimel. Shulchan Aruch paskins that there is an issur mei rabbanan to do business or to borrow or lend money on Shabbos. Again, above and beyond any other consideration, there is the issur d'rabbanan because we're worried about you coming to write. Ad kan, a very basic introduction. So far, we've seen business, gzeira, borrowing, and lending. So, the question which I want to focus on this evening is not any of those three per se, although we will get into some other types of things. But the real issue I want to focus on primarily for the bulk of tonight's shiur is something which will be very directly relevant to me in less than 48 hours, which is giving a gift on Shabbos, right? The rabbi does this every time there's a bar mitzvah or something. From the pulpit, we give a sitter. Now we give two svarim even, right? I'm like my two osios. I'm giving away two things. The shaila is such a thing mutter. You're invited tomorrow night for dinner or the next day for lunch. You want to come with a bottle of wine, a box of chocolates. Are you allowed to do that? A book. Someone came recently to my house for dinner and they didn't want to be passé, just wine or chocolate. By the way, it's not passé. We love wine. We love chocolate. But this person felt, I want to be clarified, this person felt it would be passé. Anyone who's given me in the past, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. So they brought us a book. Right? Can you give such a thing? Are you allowed to give presents on Shabbos?
Or the food itself.
Oh, right. Let's say somebody comes and brings desserts.
Or just kind of inviting somebody.
I don't know if you call, do you call that a gift?
Is that a gift? I don't know.
Okay, well, keep it in mind. That much I'll tell you for sure will be mutter, and you'll figure out, if not for just the, because it has to be mutter, but I'll give you, if you need a real reason, I'll give you a real reason before the share is over.
Can you split hairs and differentiate between the giving and the receiving?
That's going to be a very important lumdish question which we will ask. That is a major maflogus achronim, perhaps even rishonim. So the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, and this is also passed in the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Hilchos Sukkah, in Tafresh Nun Ches, very, very famous Gemara. I'm not sure, maybe even one of the two Sukkahs I've been here, I may have given a shir on this, probably one of my pet topics, because in the context, the famous Gemara of Matan Manasa Hasir, there's different Chachamim are on a boat, and there's only one Lulav. So the Gemara has the famous halacha that they each gave to each other, even on day one of the Yontif, because you need Lachem. His own lulav and etzrog on the first day, or in our case, days. So they each gave it to each other as a conditional gift. The matana amanas la'asir, and the chiddush of that gemara ostensibly is that such a thing works, and that's where you have a whole literature of matana amanas la'asir. But from our perspective, again, like so many things in life and certainly in learning, that's what the obvious focus is. But if you come to that gemara thinking about our topic, there's another implication that's drawn from the gemara. Again, less one and. There's no reason to, I don't know any postman who do, distinguish between Yontif and Shabbos in this case. We do know that there are some differences between Yontif and Shabbos, but this is not one of them. It seems obvious that the Gemara takes for granted that it's permissible to give a gift on Shabbos. Now, maybe you'll tell me that this is really, really connected to the razzle-dazzle, analytical, discussion about how does conditional giving work? Is the Matana Manasa Hasir really just like, is it like the Nesivus, that it's a real Kenyan? So maybe there, if you hold like that, then that's really a gift. But if you hold up like the Ketzos, that it's just a Matana Lizman, I love that sugya, I don't think it's relevant at all. Even if you hold like the Ketzos, which is a minority opinion anyway, that a Matana Manasa Hasir is really only a very temporary gift, and it's like the clock is running, the second you give it into whatever it is that they're supposed to give it back, and it naturally dissolves, doesn't need another kinyan to break it, it naturally dissolves. The bottom line is, for the time that it exists as a real matana. Everyone agrees that. That's the most essential chiddush of that Gemara and Sukkah, because if you don't hold it, it's really owned by the new recipient, you couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. So whatever the other ramifications of that Gemara are, which are many, in Dalet Minim and beyond, certainly the simple reading of that Gemara, if you have this focus, as we have tonight, indicates that it is mutter to give a present, which perhaps would indicate that this is not included in the Gzeira. And one could certainly understand logically why one would differentiate, because you don't necessarily have the same need for recording, unless you're worried, I didn't write a card, so sometimes right before you ring the doorbell, you're scribbling, I don't mean on Shabbos, but you're scribbling the card. So maybe you'll say, no, we're not going to be worried about that. Most time people give a gift. You don't have to worry that naturally there's going to be a contract or anything equivalent. So that is, again, prima facie, the simple implication of this Gemara. Yeah,
Gaffer. Is that two matamas or is that one transaction?
Even when they give it back.
When they give it back, is that a separate matamas?
So that is a very important question, but that question is related to this razzle dazzle machlokas achronim I just referred to, the Ksos and the Sivis. Do you need a new, do you need a real regift? To borrow a popular phrase. Okay, so it's not clear that you need a regift. We assume a halakha you do, like in the Sivis, but the Ksos says you do not need to, quote, regift, not in halakha, because obviously you have to give it back. But that has to do with a halakhic gift in the other direction, that is a machlokas. But again, but in terms of the first initial giving, the Gemara here seems to indicate, and this is possible a halakha, that it's mutter. Moreover, a not as well known halakha, and again, one which is doesn't have other ramifications, it's just straight about gift giving, but the Gemara based on Daf Yudayim and Aleph, it talks about someone who didn't have, you know, didn't buy enough the ingredients for 4 yontif, and they're running out of food, so you can give flour, or for that matter, really anything, you can give the person flour on yontif. What? Yes, good, exactly. So we assume that that's mutter also, right? Very good. So Rashi says in this Gemara Beitza, this is a gift. Yeah, buying it is not, it's a gift. Again, another Gemara that says it's mutter to give a gift on Shabbos.
Now these are all mitzvahs.
Oh, very good. Sharp. Hold on. You've detected a pattern. The Ran, however, it's worth noting, the Ran is a very, very important Ran. The Ran there, some others as well, but it's, I think, notably the Ran in Beitza, says that when you give this flower or something like that, it's only mutter if you give it miyad liyad, meaning how does a new person take ownership of it? Again, if you want to be technical about it, he's doing what's called kinyan mashicha, by bringing it towards him. However, says the Ran, even in this case of giving the flour on yontif to help the person be able to have food for yontif, you cannot make a kinyan sudar. You know, with the handkerchief or the pen, that the Ran says, if you want to do that kind of kinyan to clinch the gift, you're so worried about the guy wanting to be an Indian giver, before he can do it, a Kenyan.
Why?
So you can't, very good. You can't do it. Before we get, I shouldn't say before. The reason seems to be, again, very simply and straightforwardly, a gift typically does not involve anything that's connected to business. It's apples and oranges. A suitor, that is the quintessential business Kenyan. And therefore, to do Kenyan suitor, even if you won't say it's more likely, therefore, that it involves writing, but it certainly more closely resembles Mekach u'Memkar. So presumably that's why the Ran says that far you can't go, that you can't do. But Miyad Liyad, even though technically a Kenyan is happening, there's a transfer of ownership, which in essence is the same thing as any business deal, but a gift transfer of ownership is different, right? Just ask your tax attorney. A gift is different than a business deal. There is another shita in Rishonim, which we'll get back to, but it's worth already knowing now, just to have the full range of shitas on this. The Beis Yosef quotes this famous Mordechai, we'll get back to this Mordechai, and not as well known, but there's also a tshuva of the Rivash. They both say, but for now we'll know this is the Mordechai shita, then it's all usher. You can't. There's no way to give some exception with that Gemara, but be that as it may, it's usher even hand to hand. Stam to give a gift is usher even hand to hand. The Ran is the one who says, well, it's just if it's not Kinyan Sudar. But basically, they say it's Aser. So how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So Don't want to get into it now. But the Maisa, this is the Machlokas Rishonim. Again, it's quoted, the whole, if you want the clear summary of the Machlokas, it's in that Beis Yosef. Simin Tavkuf Chav Zayin. So Shulchan Aruch in that Simin Sifchav, he paskins like the straightforward understanding that it's Mutter to give flour as a gift. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Samech, Kodesh Machronim, that say, we hold like this run. Namely, don't use a suitor. That looks too much like regular business, but as long as you don't use a suitor, just to hand the guy the flower when they knock on the door and say, oh, you know what, I ran out. Can I have you have any extra maror? Maybe a more contemporary type of example. I ran out of wine. So that, they say, is mutter, just don't use the kinyan suitor. That's, but it's still, there's still a derabanan. There's no isser in general just giving somebody something. It's not because of malacha you may come to do. Because in economy, then on Yom Tov, there's no malacha. It's per se, there's an isser. Writing is still, again, the gzeira is not, it has nothing to do with vishal. The gzeira is asu ksiva. Ksiva is asu on Yom Tov. Okay, fair enough. So we'll stick with the flower then. So this is all, until now, pretty much straightforward paskin shulchan aruch. If we stop the shiur right now, it sounds like it's mutter. Just don't do a kinyan suitor. However, did I set it up well?
We're ready to leave.
You mean AM pedagogy? I set it up well? Okay. However, there are a number of poskim who point out that it is really not that simple at all. In fact, taking a diametrically opposed view, the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva. Some in the test we'll get back to some interesting context that he was dealing with. But basically, says the Ksav Sofer, we don't care what kinyan is used. Any type of formal transfer of ownership on Shabbos is usur. Moreover, they point out, again, this was, if you look at some of the earlier sources, it doesn't seem like they realize it, but in more recent sources, they've dug up a Rambam, which has now become very popular to quote, out of left field, literally, from Hilchos Mechira. Not in Hilchos Shabbos, but in Hilchos Mechira, where the Rambam is mashma, like this, because he unconditionally, without making any distinctions in the type of kinyanim, he equates in that halacha all gift-giving and Nekoch HaMemkar. He happens to point out there, which is the context, that even if you do business on Shabbos, even though you violated an Isser, but the business deal is still good. Or someone can't come after Shabbos and say, oh, we did it for Isser, I'm out. You know, the stocks fell, I didn't mean it. No, the Kinyan works, but it was Usser. So in that context, the Rambam says the same thing about actual business and gift giving. You're not supposed to give a gift on Shabbos, but if you give it, it actually is a gift. The guy can't try to take it back. But the bottom line is the Rambam there, that's what my friend point out, he doesn't make a distinction between Sudar and any other Kinyan. It sounds like all types of gift-giving are Usser. And furthermore, a number of other major heavyweight Achronim, such as the Magen Avraham and the Rav Shulchan Aruch, Baal HaTanya, Lubavitch, both say unconditionally gift-giving is Usser on Shabbos. The perhaps to make this, however, really sharp, we mentioned before that the Mishnah Berurah Paskin, as long as it uses a Kinyan Sudar, it's okay. Well, that was the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yom Tov. However, the Mishnah Berurah here in Simen Shin Vav says gift giving is usher on Shabbos. In Simen Shin Vav Sivkat Lam Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah says it's usher unconditionally without any mention of types of kinyanim. So the major question is how to put this all together, how to resolve this. So before I do that, I want to mention something that Ellie had alluded to before, first of all, because it's interesting in its own right, and also because in some later posts, this will become relevant, and that is what I have there in the next Dibra Maslow here in the outline. I'm up to Os Gimel here. If you want a good source for this discussion, look at where I quoted here from the Sechemed and others, who quote a major machlokes, whether one assumes that when you violate this, if you want it would actually, let's say, give a gift on Shabbos, who is doing the prohibited action? The giver or the receiver or perhaps both? So just to give you a little bit of a taste of some of the makoros, the Maharsham has a tshuva, very well-known tshuva. A lot of the Achronim, even more contemporary sources, quote this tshuva of the Maharsham or Shwadran, who has a very interesting idea. He quotes the Sefer Chassidim, no less, as his source, that says the following issue. What would be a nafkamina between this question? What's the nafkamina? I mean, who has to do kapara? But what's the real nafkamina? Excellent. Very good. What if you can you give a present to a non-Jew? So, the Maharsham has a tshuva where he assumes that the whole prohibition is on the recipient. Okay, this is not tonight's shir. And the Maharsham is assuming that it's mutter, for whatever reason. Okay? A lot of reasons why Lo Sechanim might not apply.
In those days, not today. I don't think it
whatever. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Someone put in a vote. We'll try to have a Lo Sechanim share one day. It has a lot of ramifications. I'm not sure anyone really wants to hear a Lo Sechanim share. There's a lot of Isurim out there, right? You have a Cal Ripken poster over your bed. I mean, there's a lot of... I kid you not. These are shilas. These are real shilas, all part of the Lo Sechanim. Look, forget about Heter Mechira, other things in Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot of issues of Lo Sechanim. Thank you, Soki. You usually bring out real issues. Is that the pattern? I hadn't been picked that up yet. So the Maharsham assumes that the fundamental prohibition here is on the recipient of the gift. He says this virtually midanafshay, it's a svara, and therefore he assumes to give a gift to a non-Jew, assuming the Soki passes his muster, the Maharsham at least says it's mutter on Shabbos or Yontif, because obviously there's no isra on him for Shabbos and Yontif. The Ksav Sofer, in that same shuvah that I mentioned before, and if you want an easier reference for it, for Shabbos Kilchasa, and a footnote quotes this Ksav Sofer, is also lenient in the following atypical context, so perhaps other than maybe for the Gutmans. That if, let's say, you own cattle, and you have a context where you're anticipating that one of them might give birth to a firstborn, a Bechor, which is going to be Kadosh, it's a whole complicated thing, what do you do with it? So you want to give it away, but let's say you didn't realize that, uh-oh, comes on Shabbos and you see the cow is ready, like going into labor. Exactly, I don't know exactly how this would look, but says the Ksav Sofer, in this emergency, even on Shabbos, you can give the cow as a gift, or whatever kind of animal it is, you can give it to the non-Jew to avoid this Bechor problem. Again, she thinks so, he's as long as he avoided Tudor. Okay, but the point is, let's assume, for argument's sake, he's not taking a position on that. So in theory, we know people who paskin that it's all usher. In fact, he is one of them. He's one of them, it's all usher. He doesn't make the distinction. The point is, though, that he assumes also that the isra, whatever it would be, whenever it would be, would only be on the recipient. If the recipient is not Jewish, then it won't be relevant. This is a theme for you, I see. Erev Pesach this year. Well, that I can promise you they'll be shurim on. Not just by me. I'm sure all the rabbanim will be doing shurim on this. Very complicated stuff. A few years ago when there was an Erev Pesach, Shalosh Shabbos, I'm not one of these like calendar things. Like I didn't like start thinking, oh, when will be the next one? Oh, it'll be so soon. And like, you know, save all the printed material. I'm regretting that. All right. So if anyone has any good write-ups of shurim or articles or publications, because I was getting them in the mail every other day a few years ago. So we'll keep it in mind. White wine, matzahs, all sorts of different things. Anyway, the big bar, there are a few, but perhaps the best known one who disputes all of what we just said is the Netziv. Other than the Netziv, and his Tshuvas Neshiv Davar, there he argues, I've seen this quoted, which is, I wanted to look it up today. The way I saw quoted is that he just argues and he says the Isra is on the giver. Now, the person I saw quoted was a recognized Talmud Chacham, a well-known sefer. But the truth is, when I looked it up myself, I read the Shulchan quickly, it appeared to me that he wasn't saying exactly that. Not that the Isra is just on the giver. It sounded to me like he was saying it was on both. But the main point, again, at least the practical distinction, is that it's at least also on the giver. And therefore, in fact, he rejects some of these other leniencies. That's the last thing on the share if we get to. If we have time, that's ches. That's the last, whatever that is. That's the last marmakamas. So just for further research as well, I have that footnote here from the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaso. This is in chapter Chav Tes, footnote 76, that the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaso also quotes other poskim who said the Isser is on both, the giver and the recipient. So one nafkamina for now would be gift-giving to a non-Jew. And perhaps we'll see other poskim who will mention this later. So the real issue now I want to get back to, which is the main question, is how do we reconcile, so to speak, part 1A and 1B of the shir? On the one hand, you have certain gemaras, even if psak and shulchan aruch, that sounds like gift-giving is mutter. On the other hand, you have other makaros, including psak and shulchan aruch and mishnah berurah, that seem to be directly contradictory to those earlier sources. So the truth is that the real answer to the question all goes back to that Mordechai we discussed and Alan Terrigan. Alan was Machavein to the big discussion that Rishonim have. The post can quote all from that Mordechai. I alluded to the Mordechai before. The Mordechai I alluded to before was in the context of his Chumrah. The Mordechai rejected the Ran's leniency that said all Kinyanim are Mutter but Sudar. The Mordechai had said that all Kinyanim are Usar. So any gift, stam, according to the Mordechai, with or without sudar, is usur. But the Mordechai has a different but everything but sudar. So the Mordechai has a different but. The Mordechai is perhaps the earliest one who had the idea which Alan was machaven to, and that is that if something is l'tzorech mitzvah, if you're giving a gift which is for the purpose of a mitzvah, or l'tzorech Shabbos, whatever the yom is, Shabbos or Yontif itself, then this was never included in the rabbinic decree. This was never included in the Gezeirah Rabbanon. The Tzorach Mitzvah, the Tzorach Shabbos, the Tzorach Hayom is all mutter, says the Mordechai. Again, this is also quoted. It's inside the Mordechai if you want to look it up in Beis, and it's also in that Beis Yosef, in Siman Tav Kuf Chav Zayin. So when it comes to, quote, the Tzorach Hayom, the Tzorach Shabbos, that's somewhat self-explanatory. So, for example, if you run out of food and someone needs to bring you something, that'll be mutter for obvious reasons. Leave aside the broader category of mitzvah for a second, but the lulav on sukkis is a tzorach hayom. All of those things are straightforward. The bigger question, which is what poskim struggle with, is the other category, the tzorach mitzvah, to do a good deed. How broadly do you define that heter? Let's assume we're going to accept it. The question is how to apply it. What does it mean? How broadly do you want to define it? And by the way, this is again just to be, I think, again, we'll see at the end of this year, certain, if people want to be machmir for certain hidurim, that you could even apply to those kind of cases. The truth is, this is why it seems to me, and I think this is what Post will say, in terms of the letter of the law, it's mutter to show up someone's house for lunch with a bottle of wine. Without any other of the tricks which we mentioned at the end of this year, straight to give it to my Shabbos. Again, I think that's that's why I think it's mutter. Right, so do you have to use it? I don't think so. I think that's up to them. Huh? Okay, if you give them something that's unopenable, that's a different genre. But you can, most of these things can be open. Well, use a cork. A metal cap might be a problem. Huh? Yes. Correct. That's what I'm saying. Any L'sorach Shabbos meal, sukkah, lulav on sukkah, that's all an easier one. The question is a broader mitzvah category. Well, then you might have muktzah issues. Right. Or some of the things we're about to get to. Oh, okay. Good. So the Mishnah Brura, just to give again, to quote it, just to point out that, because if you look in some poskim, it seems like they try to collapse these categories, which would be a big chumrah for us. Again, I mean, if you assume that they're collapsing them into L'tzorach Hayom. But the truth is, if you look in the Mishnah Brura, he goes out of his way, and again, I think when talking about the time of the Mishnah Brura, if he meant it otherwise, he would have said so. The Mishnah Brura, if you look, quotes both. He says L'tzorach Hayom, or L'tzorach Shabbos, and L'tzorach Mitzvah. So obviously mitzvah in the Mishnah Brura terminology is not referring to a need on Shabbos. So that at least gives us a certain opening. The question is how much to push open that door. How broad is that other category? That's my question. No, that is the question. That's what I'm trying to ask. Maybe I wasn't clear. Letzorech Shabbos mitzvahs on Shabbos or Sukkot mitzvahs on Sukkot. So that's the first obvious heter. That's Letzorech Hayom or Letzorech Shabbos, however it's referred. That's obviously mutter. The question is when the poskim, even the original Mordechai, and even all the way down to the Mishnah Brura, quote two phrases, that's exactly the question. How broad is the other category? You know, Nunu, it's Allah, a Dover Shishon Matirin, so why can't you give it on Sunday? Some long-term mitzvah? That's going to be even allowed on Shabbos, because it's a good thing long-term for the person? And how immediate does the need have to be in order to count for this? So, there are two issues that are quoted in poskim. Actually, there's really three, if you will. One which was very common apparently at some earlier point in history, I'm not sure there's any Jewish community that still does this, which is that not only did the Chasan HaAfrof get an aliyah presumably, but apparently he darshaned, and after the drasha he got gifts. Right. So I did not know about this minhag on the books, but am I offer if I gave the drasha in shul? So I was, but not getting a gift. The shayla, but they got a gift. You have to have them. But, parts of the Yehra. But, That's one area where the question the poskim raised. The Magen Avraham, who says gift giving in the Shabbos is asur, he doesn't hold of any of this. The Magen Avraham asks, what could be? What about these offer of gifts? Some poskim, like the Chasam Sofer in his Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham, he speaks about, again, I'm not sure exactly the context, he speaks about giving the Rav a gift. I was very interested in this, but I didn't do the research so well, but I did take my interest. He speaks about giving the Rav a gift. And the other issue, which is mentioned certainly by somewhat more recent poskim, is exactly our question I raised before, which is giving a bar mitzvah boy a gift on Shabbos. Yeah, I'm giving you three different examples where poskim quote this question. So, in question in terms of habrah, so should that count, right? What's the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah in giving somebody who had an offer of? And does that need to be on Shabbos? Again, that's part of the question. So if you look at a very helpful tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef in the Yichav Adas, for those who are familiar, Rav Avadya has two sets of tshuvos. The Abiyah Omer are the more scholarly ones, which are lengthier. Even the font, if you buy the book, it's a much smaller font. They're even more terse and dense than his other tshuvos. I mean, you really, really have to have your thinking cap on to go through those. His other tshuvas, which again, both in the whole style of the book, including the pagination, is easier to read. The Chav Adas, the reason it's really easier to read is because those were given originally as radio addresses. I only found that out after I read his tshuva about whether it's mutter to listen to Divrei Torah over the radio when you're in the shower. And there's no question that someone asked that about him. Like he gives these addresses over the radio on Friday as people were getting ready for Shabbos, listening to him. He possibly, if I'm not mistaken, it was mutter. He was driving, it was Nielsen week. Driving with the radio. Yeah, it's mutter. Anyway, these are very easy, and the truth is, it's for that reason they're very, I won't say colorful, that's too strong of a word, they're very interesting shilas. It's a very pleasurable, it's like you could like be getting ready for bed and put your feet up and read these, and they're easy to read, they're shorter, and they're very, very, they're very, very enjoyable tshuvas. So the Yichav Adas and Chelek Gimel, he says that on these questions, he quotes from the Elia Rabba, and again, the Chasam Sofer, who are all Makel. I gift giving on Shabbos is usher, and this is not Latarach Shabbos. And yes, but it is considered in Latarach Mitzvah. Why? Because to give joy to a chassan is a mitzvah. And even to give joy to a bar mitzvah boy, especially if you want to construe it as giving Kavod HaTorah in terms of whether the bar mitzvah boy himself gave a little Dvar Torah or something, just as we're rewarding him for his Torah accomplishment. He lanes well, he's taking that big first step, so to speak. That these posts can say sufficiently Tarach Mitzvah to allow it on Shabbos. Ofrof is a halachic status. Ofrof is a halachic status. Interestingly, one of the contemporary English books there's a whole series of books on Shabbos and other halachas, but on Shabbos by Simcha Bunim Kohn. I believe he lives in Lakewood, Rav Vashul. I think he visited it, you told me. Simcha Bunim Kohn. Big show. So he has all these article books which are excellent. So one of his is a two-volume series called The Shabbos Home, green cover, volume 1 and volume 2. So the first chapter in volume 1, the first few chapters are all about writing and this read the Rabbanon. So Mamash, I was already finished with this year. I figured, I was going to put away some of my Shir Shabbos Kol Chasla. Happens to be on my shop, the Shir Shabbos Kol Chasla is right next to this. So sure enough, I looked. And more or less, it's an English version of what you have in Shir Shabbos Kol Chasla. But he does have something interesting in the footnote, which I hadn't seen. I'm not sure it's correct, but he does say something interesting. And that is that he goes so far as to say, and this I would say is probably perhaps the most ambitious heter, he says not only is it mutter in terms of a response to a mitzvah, the guy, he's a chassan, therefore it's a mitzvah, or is a bar mitzvah boy, he gave a good dvar Torah or something, even to encourage future mitzvahs. And by us embracing and giving chizuk and the shuls, stepping up to this bar mitzvah boy, we're encouraging his future, affiliation, and, you can imagine without being overly dramatic, in previous generations, the rabbi gives a big grusher and wants to give this bar mitzvah boy this gift that he should take it with him and should actually learn something. This should be the last time to see him in shul. So says it says, it's a gift. For that's for sure, he says, Tarach mitzvah. Now, I only say this somewhat credibly because the footnote there, what was his source? His source was the tshuva of the Sri Deyesh. The truth is that the Sri Deyesh has different printings, and I don't have a hard copy at home. I have the Bar Ilan CD-ROM. And in the Bar Ilan CD-ROM, the tshuva, the source that he quoted, was a completely different topic. But I was able to play around with the source functions, and I found the tshuva, and the Mar Makom you have on this sheet is actually from what I found in Chelek Aleph, Sridesh Chelek Aleph, and Lama Gimel. That's how it is on Bar Ilan. Rabbi Burim quoted it for some as something in Chelek Beis, Sridesh, but at least on Bar Ilan, Chelek Beis has a completely different tshuva. Be that as it may, if you look there, it doesn't exactly say the way it's quoted. But it may be what he has in mind. I'm not saying it's for sure a wrong read, but it's not as clear. He says something about of Lechavev HaMitzvah. So I'm not sure if that was meant to be prospective. That I could have read that to be still reactive, you know, that just to show love of the mitzvah, not so much to encourage mitzvahs. But he read it as encouraging mitzvahs, and that is certainly a very interesting idea. Most poskim, even Rav Avadja, who quoted these earlier achronim were mekel, most poskim suggest the following one or two tricks to even avoid any shemets of a problem, any hints, so to speak, to satisfy all opinions. One is an idea which Rav Avadja had mentioned and others too as well, and this is what I try to do, and 90% of the time I remember, is before Shabbos to be mezakeh this gift to the bar mitzvah boy. We have a concept in halacha of called zachin la'adam shalav afanav, that a third party or someone else can, so to speak, acquire ownership on behalf of somebody else without him now knowing, assuming that this is a good thing for the person. So very often, I see Shalom Kellman sitting right next to me to the left, and I'll go over to him and I'll ask him, could you pick this up to be mezakeh this for the bar mitzvah boy? So that, even though perhaps, even if you don't do that, it's still both there anyway, because maybe to give a bar mitzvah a gift is still mitzvah and it's okay. But they suggest, why rely on that if you don't have to? If you remember, that's one trick that is, so to speak, suggested. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa encourages this possibility. The Chasam Sofer suggests this as well. Rav Felder, that's Byron Felder's father, Gedai Felder, I think chief rabbi of Toronto, and a very big Talmud Chacham, said his Yisodi Yeshurin. He also suggests being a zakat to a third party before Shabbos. There's a second trick. The second trick is, I think, the first earliest source, it's in the Sridiyesh also, but the earliest source, I believe, for the second trick comes from Mari Asad, who I believe was a Talmud Mufak of the Chasam Sofer. Also in his Chubas Yehuda Yala, the Mari Asad. So he suggests that if somebody gives it to you, what you should do is have in mind, say, I'm not being kone yet. You can't be kone against your will. Have in mind that right now I'm just borrowing it. I'm only going to take kinyan after Shabbos. So there was one time where I forgot to do the zikui before Shabbos, and I had an opportunity to speak to the bar mitzvah boy, and it was a bar mitzvah boy who I thought would appreciate and understand what I was telling him. I explained this to him, and I said, I'm going to give this to you on Shabbos, but have in mind not to be kone until after Shabbos. That's another one of the tricks that is quoted. I don't want to get into das kone and das makne. That could be that that's related to broader issues. But certainly, again, the ikur here is the point is that you're getting having in mind. I had something earlier, I'm not sure it was this year or last year, somebody in the shul asked me that there's an older woman in the shul who his daughter was very close with, helping her with the davening and stuff, and this woman didn't know it so much, which is why she needed help with the davening, and she kept on trying to give her a gift, and they only saw her on Shabbos. She didn't want to give the gift during the week. I said, can you go over during the week and get the gift? No, she wanted to give the gift on Shabbos. So I told her, okay, accept the gift, but have in mind not to be kona until after Shabbos. This is a well-known idea. It's interesting. Another very interesting thing I found when I looked up this book, The Shabbos Home, is in a footnote on page 22, he quotes a contemporary. There's a contemporary sefer, I think it was from a Yerushalmi, called the Megillah Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. Very interesting sefer. So this Megillah Sefer goes against this heter. He says this heter, and this is where now going back to Ellie's issue of the recipient and the giver, he says this heter only works b'dievis, like in my case with this girl. Someone's going to give you a gift anyway. They already gave it to you, so you can get out of it by you could. Not to do it, because otherwise there's an issue even on the recipient.
Was that the only day that she saw she helped her? The only Shabbos was the only day?
Maybe. I didn't want to rely on it. Let's put it that way. I didn't want to rely on it. But this Megillah Sefer says that this whole issue only helps the recipient, who, according to him, would otherwise have an issue. But it doesn't help the giver, so to tell the rabbi or the president, as he's quoted sometimes in certain shuls, and apparently certain sparim, the minute was that the president gave the gift. So to tell him to give this gift on that condition, says the Megillah Sefer, that's wrong, because that'll help the recipient. The recipient doesn't have in mind to be kona, but the giver still gave. Shouldn't that be an isser if you assume that there's an isser on both? Oh, but what you probably have in mind, which is what Rabbi Kohn says, which is totally on the mark, not only is it logical, he points out, he it's like, if you're really going to upslug a guy, if you really destroy him, you really have to be, like, sent off beforehand. If you just have a svar of maybe why he's wrong, so you could just say it straight. But if you really show that the guy made an out-and-out mistake, so if you'll notice, a sensitive writer will be more of a mechilas kol taraso. Himamish made a mistake. Because the whole source of this is this Ma'ari Asad. In other words, it's logical. Ma'ari Asad says explicitly that if the recipient doesn't have in mind to receive it, so then there's no kinyan, and the whole thing is given al that the person will be mekabelit. There is no gift halachli until he accepts it. And therefore, this chumrah, if you will, that the Megillah Sefer wanted to create, he says, is he completely rejects. And I think that is, again, the common practice, lamaisa, with gifts on Shabbos, is that even though perhaps there is certain heterim, you'll claim that the sitter, he could use a sitter, so you have the tzrachayom elta. Again, which is why if I didn't do any of those, I would, in good conscience, give the gift. I'd give the sitter. But if you think of any of these, if you can do any of these things ahead of time, I don't think you have anything to lose. Just very quickly, just to turn your attention to two other issues, which is at the end of the sheet, which was just since we're on the topic anyway, why not mention it? And that is that the Prichada, Shabbos Kofasa, others, quote, based on other sources, they quote a prohibition against being mafkir, making something that you own, declaring it ownerless, removing your ownership from it, being mafkir something. They quote an isser on that. However, there are other achronim, like the Berkei Yosef, who are mekel. If you look in the Stechem that I quoted, he quotes a very lengthy discussion with the rationale back and forth would be. And finally, if you want to see the last line of the sheet, from the Shuvos Mishnah Halachos and Az Nibiru, some contemporary poskim, they discuss why, again, what happens to be extenuating circumstances, but assuming there were some very extenuating circumstances, what about forgiving a loan on Shabbos? So again, it's like a once in a million kind of a case. I can imagine why that you need to do that on Shabbos. But nonetheless, let's say there was a case. So the Mishnah Halachos assumes that it's usher to forgive a loan because it's essentially like a present. Maybe what present will be better than that, right? To forgive a loan. However, the Chuvas Az Nibru, that's from Benyamin Atzadik, from Benyamin Zilber and others, again, if you could ever get a kula out of him, you quote it because there aren't many. So he says, was that what I'm saying? He says, with all due respect, he says that assuming that there's a reason to do it, and assuming that you don't have an issue of Dibur Chol or other reasons why you're not supposed to be talking about these things on Shabbos, but again, assuming that those things were not relevant, or leaving those aside, per se he holds it's not a problem, because he assumes that this is at least as good as the Hefker, so you'll have all those posts permit being Mafkir, but more than that, he thinks this is even better. Because when you're being Mafkir or something, there's an actual object, there's something that's the end, whereas this is more abstract, and therefore he thinks it should be mutter. So those are two much less common, but essentially similar and analogous cases of the same derivative. Again, the bigger issue for us is the gift-giving, all of which ultimately is there, the Rabbanan, that's connected to Mecha Chamemkar, all the way going back to the Krushim and our Parsha. Give gifts on Shabbos and be zochet to receive gifts on Shabbos.
Yeah.
And Shabbos